Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation, today's episode in Everyday Truth. I still love that. I still love that podcast name, Everyday Truth, because we serve an everyday God. We are everyday people. And I believe that little investments of time over time will make a profound difference in our life. And so the fact that you would listen for 15 minutes a day, Josh and I were actually joking because yesterday's podcast was like 13 and a half minutes. And the day before, we just got long-winded. So I'm sorry that some of these days are a little bit longer than others, but I do appreciate every minute that you invest in listening and just sharing in the conversation. The fact that you would write in from time to time, some of you have left some comments, that means a lot to me. Honestly, if you could share the podcast with others, that'd be a blessing. I'd love to see as many people as possible be in the Word of God every day. I've talked to several that have listened together as a family. And when I say together, I mean, you know, dad listens to it on the way to work. Mom listens to it while she's getting ready in the morning. Teenage son listens to it you know, here or there. And so it gives us good talking points. You know, it just gives us the ability to talk about the same portion of Scripture together. So however you're listening, I really appreciate it. Josh, good to have you back today.
Great to be here.
We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, talking about the day of the Lord. Remember, we said that the day of the Lord is a period of time that begins with the rapture, which could happen at any day, and then really culminates at the end of the millennial reign of Christ, so at least 1,007 years long. And it's a day that you and I, Josh, as believers, those of you that know Christ that are listening right now, we shouldn't be lethargic about it. We shouldn't be unaware. We should know that sometime soon, maybe today, the end time events will all be upon us. And we ought to be living today in light of what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, we kind of discussed that at the end of the last podcast there in verse number 6. Let us watch and be sober. And that ought to cause us and push us to have compassion upon others and live in light of eternity.
So today we're going to complete that thought about the day of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul gives us some really practical suggestions. So we kind of left you a little bit general yesterday to say, okay, the day of the Lord is a time that we have to realize is coming. And so we ought to live differently. We ought to live in light of that. And I think that we all agree with that. But what specifically can we do? And the Apostle Paul gives us some specificity in verses 6 through 11, really. So verse 6 is we ended with yesterday. Therefore, let us not sleep. Don't be unwatchful. Don't be lethargic, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And then it gives us the reason of verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, so in other words, we're not in the night. We're not children of the night. The Bible says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So some real specific advice and admonition about how we should be living because we know what's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as we approach this these next few verses, you know, we get the audience to which Paul is talking. This is to Christians. But let us who are of the day, he says in verse number 8, be sober. Let us be serious, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And so, you know, as we look at these verses together, let's just kind of keep that in mind, that the audience to which Paul is talking here is us as Christians.
And I think a good question to ask ourselves would be, so then, what does this serious Christian life look like? So you say, well, that guy's really serious about the Lord. You know, that girl, she's really sincere and serious about her walk with Christ. So then, what would a serious life for the Lord look like? Well, he tells us. He says, if you're really serious about your walk with God, then put on the breastplate. So a breastplate would really go from one's waist all the way to one's chin. It would cover all the vital organs in battle. So he's using a soldier illustration here. And he said, put on the breastplate of faith and love. So if you're really serious about your walk with God, there are some things you're going to give attention to. And one of the primary areas of your life to which you ought to give attention is your faith. So talk to me about how do we give attention to, how do we put on a breastplate of faith?
Yeah, so let's just talk real practically just for a minute. You know, we see the example here, or the illustration that Paul uses, kind of as a soldier, right? Putting on this breastplate. So how do we put on this breastplate of faith in our life today? One of the ways is by being in church. You know, hearing God's word preached, worshiping with our fellow believers. Another way would be me personally in God's word. You spoke to it at the beginning of the podcast, Pastor, about how this podcast, the goal of it is to help people be involved in God's word. And of course, we know that, you know, God gave us his words. God has given us scripture so that we can grow closer to him. And so if I want to grow in my faith, one of the ways that I do that is by being in church. One of the ways that I do that is by praying. One of the ways that I do that is really by spending quantity and quality time with God.
Remember that God's purpose for your life is, well, obviously for you to honor and glorify him, but we do that as we take knowledge of him. We do that as we trust him. That's why the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So God wants us to trust him. He wants us to rely upon him. And I love, Josh, what you said, because faith finds its source in the word of God. Mm-hmm. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So church is a practical application. Going to church, receiving the word of God, reading God's word yourself, listening to podcasts like these. These are all ways by which we buttress or fertilize our faith. And then I think I would add to that, it's not wrong to pray that God would increase your faith. The disciples prayed that. Yeah. Lord, increase our faith. In other words, increase our capacity to trust you. God does that through, as an answer to prayer. God does that in our trials because it's the trying of our faith. So God is allowing us sometimes to go through unpalatable circumstances in order that we might look to him. That's the whole teaching of James 1, where if we lack wisdom, we need to ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. So this kind of faith and wisdom comes asking, trusting, looking to God's word, putting on the breastplate of faith. Are we living by faith? That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So today I would say, ask the Lord to help you to trust him more and to see him in each situation of your life. Put on the breastplate of faith. But then the Bible says faith and love.
Yeah.
So how do we put on love?
Yeah, that's a difficult one because oftentimes it's hard for us to love others. But you know, Jesus himself, when he was asked by the Pharisees, hey, what's the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is to love God and love others. And so, you know, Jesus has told us kind of the two things that we ought to be focused on in our life. And really, when we love God the way that we should, then our faith is going to be increased. When I love others the way that I should, then I'm going to help them increase their faith. And not only am I going to help them, but just as a byproduct of that, my faith is going to be increased.
And I think that's a great point, that faith precedes love. It does in our Christian life. Mm-hmm. We come to Him by faith. But as we come to Him by faith, trusting God, what do we trust about God? We trust His character. Mm-hmm. A huge part about God's character is the fact that He loves us unconditionally. God is love. We love Him because He first loved us. So when there's faith in God and an apprehension of who God is and what He means to me and how He loves me, there's going to be a consequent love for others. So it's God, my faith in God is driving my love for Him,
right,
and for others. And really, they're not two different things. No, I love God by loving others. Mm-hmm. So today, what guards our life is when we stay focused upon God, faith, and focus upon serving and loving others. That's the first and second command that Jesus talked about there in Matthew, the book of Matthew. So faith, love, but then He includes the third in the triad there in verse 8, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet. So that's a vital area to be protected too. It reminds me of Ephesians 6, the armor of God. For a helmet, the hope of salvation, the confidence. Hope in the Bible, my friends, is not I hope it doesn't rain, like I wish this doesn't happen. It's a confidence. So we have faith in God. We have love for God and others, but then we have confidence in the fact that God has saved me. He is saving me, right? Sanctification.
Right.
One day I'll be with Him and I'll receive final permanent salvation in glorification. So there's this confidence that God is at work in my life, salvaging all of me, body, soul, and spirit. It's faith, hope, and love. And isn't it interesting, Josh, that that's the way the book began? The book began with Paul saying, hey, I'm grateful for you because I've heard about your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. So here at the end of the book, he's saying the same thing. Hey, keep at it.
Make sure
that these spiritual truths are at the forefront of your thinking.
Yeah, I love that. Just kind of a bookend that Paul puts here on the whole book. And I love what you said about salvation, you know, being our sanctification being included there as well. That kind of is a theme all throughout the book of 1 Thessalonians as he talks to these people about their sanctification and their practical holiness and all of these different things. But he emphasizes the importance of that confidence in salvation with the picture of this helmet here.
People that are successful in any given field are people of confidence, not arrogance, not boastfulness, not cockiness, but confidence. And when the Bible talks about the hope of salvation, it's the confidence we have in our God, in what He has done and what He's doing and what He's going to do. And that's why it says in verse 9, as a follow-up to that, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Mm-hmm. So as believers, we're not fearing God's condemnation. We have been accepted. We are loved. He is our God. He began a good work in us. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that confidence ought to fuel our Christian living every day. It's the helmet of salvation. It's the hope of salvation. So God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Be confident that He has begun and will complete that work in you.
Yeah, and sometimes I think we can kind of slip back into this, I'm defeated, I'm downtrodden, I'm a slave to sin once again. But man, the confidence that we have through the power of Christ, the salvation comes by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing that I've done. And, you know, my mind goes back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new.
No, that is an excellent thought. And then verse 10, lest we have any doubt about the the intention and the investment that God has to save us and complete that salvation. It says he died for us.
Yeah,
he pretty much demonstrated that he was willing to go to the nth degree for our benefit. He died for us. And then I love the purpose statement. He died for us that whether we wake or sleep. And again, the sleep here is not referring to whether we live or die.
Right.
This is not a reference back to chapter 4. This is a reference to the context of chapter 5. The sleeping here is whether we are alert and understand that we are living for God and our lives matter, or sometimes if we get lethargic. Either way, we're going to live with him.
Yeah, and really, I think this kind of speaks to our eternal security. You
it
know,
does.
That, man, whether I'm serving God wholeheartedly and I'm all about it, or whether I'm sleeping and I've fallen off the job, so to speak, a little bit, I'm going to live with him forever.
Yes. And what a comforting thought. Matter of fact, verse 11, wherefore comfort.
Yeah.
Comfort yourselves together. But we ought to be talking about this.
Yeah.
One day you talk about it to me. One day I talk about it to you. One day you're kind of a little bit lethargic. You need me to kind of bring you back around. One day you get your mindset a little bit wrong. I need to bring you around. Hey, comfort one another and then edify one another. Build each other up. These are building truths. These are truths that help us to be energized day by day to serve God, faith and hope and love, and God's got a plan and God's at work, and be alert. These are good counseling points for each other.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about it. And I, again, kind of reiterating what you just said, you know, the imperative is comfort each other, comfort, edify, lift up one another. And we see him again down in verse 13, which we'll get to, or verse 14, which we'll get to a little bit later in another episode, just kind of reiterating this truth again. Hey, comfort the feeble-minded, exhort the weak.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, Lord willing, next podcast. I love the last words there in verse 11, where the Apostle Paul says, even as also ye do. So in other words, encourage each other, hey, build each other up, and I know you're already doing that. And so I would say to you, my listeners today, my friends, I would say, hey, many of you are already doing this, but isn't it encouraging that the apostle is saying, okay, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. We're on the winning side. Jesus is coming again. God's at work in our lives. Hey, there's no life like the life of the believer. And so I'm glad that you tuned in again today. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.